extend a warm welcome to you. Turn with me further into the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke, and chapter number 15, please. Luke, chapter 15. We'll take our reading from verse number 8. Luke 15, verse 8. I have one woman having 10 pieces of silver. If she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Two nights ago we looked at this parable told by the Lord Jesus. It begins concerning the lost sheep. Again, we want to remind each one of us that a parable is just an earthly illustration used by the Lord Jesus to bring us a spiritual lesson. We want to understand what the spiritual lesson is, of course. As Len has been emphasizing this evening, salvation is a spiritual matter. It's not something which concerns our physical, material prosperity or happiness in this world. It is something to which the soul is to be satisfied. I could have all material possessions. As Len has already pointed out, and if we were to turn back to chapter 12 of this book in which we're looking, we would see that a man had many, many material possessions, but it did nothing, absolutely nothing, for his soul's salvation. I want to reiterate that and to stamp that upon the meeting this evening, that material possessions, material happiness will do nothing, absolutely nothing, for your soul's salvation. You have a deep, deep need. I don't know whether you understand the seriousness of that need in the meeting this evening, but we want to remind one another from the Word of God the seriousness of what it is to die in your sins without Christ, without salvation, and to go down to a lost eternity. I wonder how you view salvation this evening. This little part of the parable which we've read together expresses to our souls the reality of salvation. That this parable in which we would take, and we trust that you'll come back again tomorrow night, if God spares you, and if God spares us, and we'll look at the son who went away from home, who left home and just pursued a course in life, thinking that it would bring him happiness. And it was a willful course. It was a course in which he immersed himself in the pleasures of this world. But it brought him nothing but misery, unhappiness, unsatisfied, dissatisfaction. The rebellious, willful, wayward son. I want to tell you by experience, I know something of that. I've known something of that. What it is to go down your own pathway in life. And to imagine that that pathway, immersing yourself in the pleasures and the things of this world, would bring satisfaction. I can tell you, they leave you high and dry. They leave you empty. They leave you unsatisfied. Christ, again, as we've heard from Len so clearly this evening, is the only one that can satisfy a soul. Why this evening are you following the things of the world? Why are you following the pleasures of the world, imagining that they will satisfy you? I want to tell you again, according to the Word of God, they'll leave you miserable. They'll leave you unsatisfied. I can tell you, the last 8 years and a half of my life, I've never been satisfied like I ever was in my life before. I tried the things of the world. I tried the pursuits. I tried the pleasures. But they never satisfied me. And they'll never satisfy anyone. And here we find, in this great parable, the Lord Jesus bringing to our attention. Here's a woman, and she's lost one piece of silver. If we were just to look at this as an earthly picture, here's a woman, she has 10 pieces of silver. We're not really given the detail as to what that was. Some say that this is something that she would have received in life, which would have been very precious to her. Maybe something to do with being married. I don't know as to any details. What I do know that it was obviously precious to her. But here she has 10 pieces of silver. And she loses one of them. And such was the value of this to her, that she would be prepared to light the lamp. Here would have been a house that I doubt would have had any windows. It would have been a house in darkness. A mud brick house with dirt around and dust everywhere. And she lit the lamp. And she went about that house and she probably had to turf out some of the furniture and turn some things upside down and to look and sweep the house and look diligently for that coin that was lost. Do you know that coin this evening is a picture of your soul? Do you know this evening in the meeting your soul is lost? Oh, friend, do you know the infinite value that God places on a lost soul? You know that God loves you in the meeting. He doesn't desire that you would follow a willful pathway down into the world. He doesn't desire that you be lost eternally in the pit. He desires better things for you than that. He desires that you would be saved, that you would be lifted out of the miry clay of this world, for that's all it is. And it sucks you down. And you give yourself to it and it sucks you down. And He would desire that you would be lifted out of the miry clay, that you would have your feet set upon a rock, that you would have a new song in your mouth, even praise unto God. And many should see it. And fear the Lord. Friend, just analyze your pathway this evening. Look at this coin, which is a picture of a soul, which is a picture of your soul. Look at your life as you sit in the seat this evening. Is your life one of being sucked down into the miry clay of the sin of this world? And the devil would put before you everything just to suck your life away. So that you could go down and be destroyed forever. How is your life this evening? We would find a question in the scriptures. What is your life? If you were to ask your question, this question to yourself this evening, what is your life? What is your life? Is it a life for God and Christ to the glory of God? Is it a life that's bringing pleasure to God? Or is it a life of self-will, of sinful pleasures, unsatisfied, miserable? Where are you this evening? What is your life? It is even as a vapor which appeareth for a time and vanisheth away. I want to speak about that in a moment, and we were reminded of it today, the brevity of life. How life is just so fleeting, it's so fast. Friend, here, this is a picture of the preciousness of your life to the God of heaven. We find that this woman, she lights the lamp, she sweeps the house, and she seeks diligently for this piece of silver. Do you know that salvation, the salvation of God, is because God has an interest in your soul as an individual? The light has come into this world, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation has come that we may no longer remain and continue and wallow in darkness, but that we may come and receive salvation, that we may enter into the light, we may have our sins forgiven, we may walk a pathway of pleasure to the Lord. The light that's come into this world. If we were to go to the book that Len was looking at, and to the first chapter, we would see, talking of the Lord Jesus, in Him was life, and that life was the light of the world. His life was the very light of this world, and light came into the world, and men could not comprehend it, for they love darkness rather than light. Do you love darkness rather than light this evening? Do you enjoy being under the sound of the Word of God? Is God's people the people you enjoy being with? Or is it the world that you're interested in tonight? The pleasures of the world that make you feel comfortable? Do you feel uncomfortable being in a meeting like this? Does it make you cringe when you have the Word of God read to you? Is there a conviction to your soul this evening? Bless God if there is. But it's because you dwell in darkness. And men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. Are your deeds evil deeds this evening? If God was to take your life this very night and you were not to even get home, would you stand before Him ashamed? Or would you stand before Him with this knowledge that you lived before Him as a soul saved just to bring pleasure to His holy name? Here, the coin is lost. It's lost, and as a consequence, it's in the dirt. That's a picture of a soul lost in sin. We've been speaking about this through these meetings, and we'll continue to speak about that, for that's the reality of your life without Christ. Your life immersed in sin, it's a life which is stained, it's a life which is filthy, it is a life which is dirty, it is a life which is soiled by sin. You look at your life tonight, is it a life that is soiled by sin? A mind which is soiled, hands which are soiled, feet which are soiled, my whole being as I rush on down the broad road, just seeking the pleasures, the sinful pleasures of this life, no thought of Christ, no intention to please Him. I rise in the morning to please myself. I live through the day to please myself. A soul lost and undone in the filthiness of sin. Is God going to leave such a person there? Does God desire to leave your soul there? This parable illustrates to us that God has not left a stone unturned in the salvation of your soul. The lamp has been lit. The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of this world, has come. The Spirit of God moves in convicting power, and He's convicting you of sin and righteousness and judgment in this very meeting tonight through the Word of God. He's taking His Word and He's penetrating it to your heart. My dear friend, I know that's going on in this very meeting in which we sit. The Spirit of God is taking His Word and He's penetrating your soul as the Gospel is preached to you. And the life is being swept. It's being cleaned out. Maybe there's things being turned upside down. What are you going to do? Are you going to walk out of this meeting in rejection to the Spirit of God? Do you know what Stephen said concerning the nation of Israel, this people? Do you know what Stephen said when he was being martyred, down on his knees, and the men were throwing stones at him, and they were killing him for the sake of the Lord Jesus? Do you know why they were killing him? Maybe some would sit in the preaching of the gospel, under the preaching of the gospel this evening, and you feel the same way. If only I could just get rid of that preacher. Really, it's the same attitude. If we could just do away with that. Maybe that's someone concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Crucify him, they cried. But they thought that concerning Stephen, and they threw stones at him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to shut his mouth. And do you know one of the last things he said to that people? He said, "You do always resist the Holy Spirit. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart." Is there a stiff-necked soul in the meeting this evening, and you're doing your best to reject the Holy Spirit of God and the claims of God upon your soul? Do you know God owns you this evening? He has claims upon your soul. He has rights to you. The Lord of hosts that would tell us as to His rights to this entire universe. It's His creation. And this evening, having rights to you, He desires that your soul would be saved and that you would live for the glory of God, that you would live to bring pleasure to God and to Christ, for whom your soul He died. Oh, dear friends in the meeting, where do you stand? Maybe the Spirit of God is convicting you. I was telling Bevan just this week, staying in the home, I remember well the Spirit of God speaking to me on a few different occasions. But one time in particular, I can remember it just like it was a moment ago, as I made my way up the stairs in the place where I was living with my girlfriend, and I was living in fornication. And it's something that the world would tell you that is okay to do. It's something that the Bible would tell you is absolute wickedness in the face of God. And God will judge the fornicators and the liars. And I went up the stairs in this house where I was living, and I got to the top and I put my hand on the banisters. And as I was about to go round into the bedroom, the Spirit of God spoke to my soul. I can't remember the exact words, but I knew this. I felt wrong in what I was doing. Just some thought came to my mind. Wrong! And I remember saying, not audibly, but in my heart, "This is the 90s. Everyone does it." And with that, I brushed off that and walked into the bedroom. What would I have done if God had taken my life in that moment? I would have gone down to the pit. The Spirit of God spoke to me and I brushed Him off. Are you going to brush the Spirit of God off tonight when He's speaking to you? The very living God of heaven, as He sweeps through the company and speaks to your soul as you sit in the seat, that if you perish in your sins and in your waywardness, you will go down to the pit. Friend, what is God saying to you this evening? I don't know your heart. I don't know how God is speaking to you from this word that we've read, from what Len has been speaking to us about, from the Word of God. Maybe there's some in the meeting tonight and you're under the conviction of your sin. Listen, I want to remind you, there's one that seeks diligently for you. He's been seeking diligently for you for a long time. In effect, we could see that this comes into the very three-pronged parable in which we've read. The very coming in of the light into this world, the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the conviction of the Spirit as He would sweep through and convict you, maybe having to turn a few things upside down. People would wonder, why the tragedies? Why this? Why that? Well, what's it got to take for God to come in and cause you to understand that you need to turn to Him? You need to live for His glory. What's this world going to do for you when you're standing before the living God of heaven and earth? What's it going to do for me when it flees away from the very face of the One who sits upon the throne? Where will all the pleasures be then? Where will all the sin be then? Where will all the company be then? When you stand alone naked before God. Friend, the Spirit is speaking to you this evening. But if we were to go to the last part of this parable, we would see one who seeks diligently. It's the same word used in the parable in chapter 13 that we read the other night, when there the owner of the vineyard came to look, and he looked upon the tree, and for 3 years he sought diligently. He came seeking fruit. And maybe again God is in this meeting this evening. He's seeking to see if there's any fruit in your life. Is there any fruit for God in your life this evening? Or do you have a life that's fruitless? Maybe a load of leaves. Maybe a load of religion. Maybe a big show. But no fruit. Oh, the wonder is this. That God is still seeking. He hasn't closed this day of grace yet. The doors of the gospel hall are still open. The Christians are still here. The word of God is still being preached. Maybe this is the last time. Maybe as we speak, I often think of this. Maybe as we speak, as we're speaking right now in this little wooden gospel hall in Mornington and preaching to your soul that you must be saved. You must be rescued from your sin. You must live a life away from the in repentance of sin and live a life to the pleasure and glory and honor of the One who died for you at Calvary. But maybe as we speak to you in this meeting, there's movements in heaven. Maybe the Son is preparing to rise off the throne to step out into this very space. And with a shout, every Christian in this room would be gone. Would you be left on the seat? In your sin? To go down and perish? Or would you be called away to be with One who was nailed to Calvary's tree, to gaze into His lovely face, and to know that it was so worth it to leave behind those pathetic pleasures of the world, to leave behind the crowds. Yes, a little life of rejection, a little life whereby the world mocked me. I tell you, they can mock me all they want this evening. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus. I'm going to be with the One who died for me. Are you? Are you on your way to the glory? Oh yes, you say. I'm going. Are you really? Do you have a life that demonstrates that? Len was telling us the other evening. And we've been looking in that book. We've been reminded from that book, what is your life? And Len was reminding us the other evening and bringing out again this evening. And we bring it out again. Maybe it's just here and not here. Maybe I can say the right thing, but there's no demonstration in my life. Friend, repent of your sin. Turn to the Lord Jesus while you still have breath in your mortal being. Trust in the Savior. Turn away from all that's occupying you. Turn away from all that's keeping you in living for the glory of God. You know what the Bible says? Whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. You'll never be disgraced. You'll never be confounded. You'll never blush. You'll never be disappointed. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there shall be joy in heaven. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Father, help us, O God. We do pray for salvation. We do pray, O God, for restoration. We do pray, O God, for understanding. Grant tonight, Father, that there would be souls saved. Grant tonight that we would appreciate the Lord Jesus more. We thank Thee, O God, that He has defeated death. O God, cause this night to be a night of rejoicing. A rejoicing in heaven, that we may join too and rejoice over one sinner that repents. This we ask, giving thanks now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, these meetings continue in the will of God. 7 o'clock each night. Now, dear friends, I would urge you, come to the meetings. Don't be afraid. It is so wonderful to see the hall well filled this evening. Keep coming. Come back tomorrow. Don't let the TV occupy you or the sports occupy you. Oh, friend, there's greater things to go in for than these things of earth. Number 4, all things are ready, come. Come to the supper spread. Come rich or poor, come old or young. Come and be richly fed. All things are ready, come. All hindrance is removed, and God commends His wondrous love in Christ so fully proved. We'll sing verses 1, 5, and 6. Sorry, 1, 4, and 5, is it? 1, 4, and 5. 1, 4, and 5, and the chorus, I am coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. Trusting in Thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. May God bless you. May this be the reality of your heart.